Certainly a warm welcome on a cold day, but I must admit, I did bring the weather from Auckland. It's a terrible day in Auckland. The wind, and it's a bit of a storm up there, but nevertheless, it's good to be with the believers and to be able to share in the ministry of God's Word. It is a great joy and a great honor to share with you this afternoon, and to know that indeed you have fellowship with us in the preaching of the gospel. And you're praying for us. Indeed, it is a great work which the Lord has called each and every one of us to indeed tell men and women, boys and girls, concerning God's great, great salvation. And we were much encouraged to hear of the effort being put in with the gospel effort as far as the tea is concerned, but just indeed to try and bring men and women, boys and girls, under the sound of God's word. And indeed, therein lies a blessing. With that in mind, I was thinking of what the Lord Jesus Christ said and how he would call men to be fishers of men. And thinking about preaching the gospel and about attracting men and women, boys and girls, to hear and to be seated under the sound of God's word. Well, I went back to the scriptures to see, well, what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? And what did they use? And so would you be kind enough to turn with us to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5, please. Luke, chapter number 5. Now, I've got some glasses. I'm trying it out for the first time. So when we were up at the conference, I was just struggling to see some of the words. And my wife said to me, you better make a turn at Specsavers. So it's reading glasses, so excuse me when I put it up, otherwise I can't see everybody, and then when I read, I've got to put it down again. Nevertheless, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, please. Now, it's a well-known portion of Scripture. We know the Lord Jesus Christ here was calling Peter, Simon Peter, to become fishers of men. But there are lovely lessons that we can learn as individuals, but there are lovely lessons that we can learn as an assembly, as we go out to preach the gospel, as we go and, as it were, cast our nets and with the intent of bringing in men and women to hear the gospel and the sound of God, under the sound of God's word. So we'll read this portion, and then very, very quickly and briefly we'll look at some of these lessons that Peter learned and James and John learned. And of course, if they can learn it, we can learn it here in Dun Edin too. So, Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. We'll commence reading at verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And the Lord always blesses the public reading of his most holy and precious word. Well, indeed, it is a well-known portion of Scripture, and we love reading these portions. And again, to see the net filled and the boats filled with fishes, and we long again for those times, don't we? I trust, brethren and sisters, we realize we still serve a God who is able to fill the net with fishes. We still serve the same God. He is still the powerful God that drew us, that saved us, and that even in today's time, despite those who are not interested in the things of the Lord, we serve a God who is still able, a God who is still able to fill those nets with fish. You know, if you read up earlier on, we find the account of that man who was brought on upon a bed, and those that brought him through the roof. Yea, four men. Four men were going to bring this man, their friend, through the roof for healing. And of course, as the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with him, he emptied the bed. And the thing that mastered him, the sickness that held him in the bed, he emptied the bed. But of course, here we find the Lord Jesus Christ filling the empty nets. They toiled. They caught nothing. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is still the one who is able, yea, to empty the bed, but to fill the nets with fish. And so we want to look at some of these lessons, which I'm sure Simon Peter learnt on this occasion. This indeed was, we refer to the call of Simon Peter. When you go to his salvation, his conversion, you go to John 1. But here the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call this man, Simon Peter, to become fishers of men. If you read through the different accounts where we find this description of nets and catching fish, it is interesting to note that when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak to his disciples about catching fish, he always refers to a net. Now, indeed, we know that there are line fishermen, and we know that there are spear fishermen, but it's lovely to see that in the Word of God, catching fish, they used nets. Now, indeed, there are those who personally go out in personal testimony and is able to speak one-on-one, and we have them in the Scriptures. We have those who brought individuals, yes. But as an assembly, it's lovely to know we are able to cast out the net. And it's nice to go through the portions of Scripture and read all about these nets. You know, we read, don't we, about them mending their nets. We read about them washing their nets. We read about them casting their nets. We read about them cleaning their nets. And these all have application for us as an assembly of the Lord's people. And we can learn little lessons that will help us catch fish. That is our purpose, I trust. As we preach the gospel week after week, that it is our purpose that indeed we might see souls saved. That indeed we might see young men, young women, boys and girls, older ones too, come to a knowledge of the truth and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And so we need to lead what the Scripture says. And so we find these nets. I'd like to spend just a little time about some of the nets that we find. About what it means to mend nets. And what it means to clean nets. And what it means to cast nets from the Scriptures. And see how it will help us individually. I speak to my own heart. And trust that as you again preach the gospel on the Lord's Day, and again in prayer, waiting for souls to be saved, we might take encouragement from the Scriptures and make sure that indeed our nets are clean and that our nets are mended and that indeed we are casting out a net and we are going into the deep, as it were, and learn just some very, very simple lessons from the Word of God. But Peter is going to learn much of the Lord in this chapter. He's going to learn much. And in the opening verses, we find again, the people were pressed. Why were they pressed? They were pressed to hear the word of the Lord. Is it fitting that we opened up our meeting today, singing about the wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord? Brethren and sisters, this is what we need, don't we? We need the word of God. Our brother Muddy prayed, did he not? That the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We need the word of God. We don't need entertainment, is it? That will never draw and keep in. We need the word of God. The word of God says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of a knowledge of the word of truth. And so today, we still need the word of God. This is of vital importance. And we see on this occasion, the people were pressed. They wanted, what were they looking for? They were there. We read in verse 1, to hear the word of the Lord. I trust, brethren and sisters, that we are ready to submit to the word of God, isn't it? And as an assembly, we are ready to submit to the word of God. This is what's going to draw us. This is what's going to guide us. This is what's going to keep us. The word of God. And so this is a wonderful occasion for these people. They came to hear the word of God. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ being there, he sees these ships. And it's the ships of Simon Peter. And he sees them. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to use this opportunity to use Simon's ship to preach the word of God to the people. So his ship was going to be used as a pulpit, isn't it? And isn't it true? Whenever we preach, whenever the word of God is shared from this platform and others, well, it's just like throwing out the net, isn't it? For the unsaved, we're throwing out the net so that indeed people might come to a knowledge of the truth. But to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, again we throw at the net to draw the hearts of the Lord's people closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here the Lord comes, and he's here, and he see these boats, and the fishermen were gone out of them. They were washing their nets. And so I want to stop there and think a little bit about nets. Now, I don't know if you have seen a fishing net before. I come from Cape Town, and not far from our home was the sea, just like you have it there. And my grandfather, he loved fishing. He didn't like doing the fishing, but he loved fish. And he had a house right at the beach, in fact. And he had a fishing net. And we had some occasion to use that net. Now, you know, a fishing net is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I once tried to go angling, fishing with my brother, and we spent about 6 hours, and all I caught was a cold. I just caught a cold, no fish. But of course, we had an occasion to use that net, and within a half an hour, we had a whole net full with fish. And that was wonderful. But you know, if you've ever seen a net, what is a net? You know, it's really a bunch of holes tied together, can I call it that? It's all weaved together and knit together. So I want to think this afternoon about the weaving of the net. I want to think of the assembly net. We are an assembly, we are knit together, Paul says in Colossians. Knit together in love, in fellowship. We're knit together, we're feeding off the head, we're getting our nourishment from Christ who's our head. But the thought there is that we're knit together like a net, weave together, and we can be used as an assembly in the throwing out of the net, in bringing souls to Christ. And that's wonderful that you and I can have fellowship in the preaching of the gospel. That indeed, as we have been weaved together, we can know somewhat of unity in the preaching of the gospel. There the Lord's going to command a blessing. You know, I'd like to call it the assembly net. Weave together. Everyone connected and knitted together in the preaching of the gospel. You know, the person standing up here on the Lord's Day every week. Well, what is he? He's just a spokesperson for the assembly. And there are those who go into the back room to pray. And there are those during the week, they're praying for the gospel. They are having fellowship, Paul says, in the preaching of the gospel. And it's lovely to know that the assembly is knit together, like a net, all connected, perhaps individually. We just make perhaps a hole, isn't it? But knit together, it's an article which can be used for bringing souls to Christ. Used by the fisherman, the chief fisherman as it were, to bring souls to Christ as an assembly. A very important aspect of the assembly is the preaching of the gospel. And so you and I, in the local assembly, we knit together as a weave net to bring in souls, yea, to hear, to be seated under the sound of God's work. You know, every person has a responsibility. And from the youngest to the oldest, as far as the gospel is concerned, there are those praying. There are those bringing people in with a cause. There are those inviting others. You know, all connected together in unity in the preaching of the gospel. You know, we need to have unity in the preaching of the gospel. We need indeed to be weaved together, knit together in love and care, so that we might see blessing. The psalmist says, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commandeth a blessing. You see, we're never ever going to be able to bring in souls when we don't have unity. Isn't it? So I'll leave that thought with you. The weaving of the net. But what about the working of the net? If you read the different portions, you'll find down in this, you'll find that they cast the net. And you'll find in John chapter 21, again a chapter dealing with Peter, we'll find that there he was casting the net. And then you'll find they were dragging in the net. That net is to be used. That needs to be used, brethren and sisters. It's useless. We have this wonderful net, a wonderful item which can be used for the catching of fish. But we don't use it. We don't use it. It is our responsibility as an assembly to cast out the net. To go into the deep and cast the net. And it's lovely to hear on the Lord's Day, week after week, there are those who are simply casting at it. Now we can't save people, can we? That's the Lord's work, isn't it? We can't save people. But of course, we do have the responsibility of casting the net. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that they did. They preached the gospel. The Lord Jesus in Mark 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, there were those men who did. And the gospel was spread throughout all the world. And it's wonderful to go into Acts to see how it spread into Europe and how it spread into Africa. They were obedient. They preached the gospel. So that net, the assembly net, that is to be cast out to bring souls to Christ. Well, yes, it's a weave net. But it's also a net that has to be used. A used net. Now, my time is going very quickly. When we read in Mark chapter 1, verse 19, again, the account of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to those who were fishing, he's going to speak, and we're going to read there about James and John, and they were mending their nets. They were mending their nets. Brethren and sisters, this is a very important thing. As an assembly, that we know what it means to mend the net. Yes, we are weave net, and it's wonderful to know that we knit together in love and fellowship in the preaching of the gospel. And it's wonderful to know that that net can be used. But brethren and sisters, if there's a big hole in the net, the fish are going to escape. And the assembly of the Lord's people, they need to know what it means, and we need to know individually what it means to mend the net. Here was James, here was John, and they were mending their nets. You know, if one part of the net is broken, you know what will happen? You'll find that the small fish escape first. Isn't it? You'll find that the small fish escape first. And brethren and sisters, if we don't mend it, that little hole will become bigger. And it has been my sad experience to see assemblies where nets are not being mended. Nets are not being mended. And sadly, half the assembly leaves. They go through the hole because it's not being mended. And we need to know if we're going to catch fish. We're going to need to know what it means individually to mend the nets. All right. Ephesians 4 verse 3, we know these verses. Endeavoring to keep the unity in the uniting bond of peace. The thought there is to maintain it. The thought there is to actively maintain. We don't make the unity. The unity is made of the Spirit of God. But it is our responsibility to maintain it. To fix up. To mend. Paul writing, does he not? When those two sisters had a problem in Philippians. He speaks about, let your moderation be known. Let your yieldedness. And individually, you know, we're all different, aren't we? And we've got different personalities. And sometimes we rub each other in the wrong way. And there's a little hole. We need to mend the nets, isn't it? We need to fix it up. And make sure that there's no holes. Lest those escape through the net. The younger ones first. Smaller ones first. Younger in the faith. And eventually that hole becomes bigger. Let's know what it means to mend the net. Just as James and John did on that occasion. But then in Luke 5, we read here, the Lord Jesus Christ came and the fishermen were out of the boat. What were they doing? They were washing the nets. Yes, a weave net, put into service, a working net. Yes, we need to recognize the nets need to be mended. But we also need to know what it means to wash the net. Now, I've been told that fish are very sensitive to dirty nets. And I've been told that if they smell a dirty net, they'll give it a wide berth. They'll give it a wide berth. And brethren and sisters, we know what it means. We must know what it means to wash our nets. You know, I'm sure as they use that net every day, it must have collected dirt. And it must have collected debris. And it must have collected old broken seaweed and all kinds of things. And these fishermen needed to know daily when they brought their nets in, what it means to clean their nets. What it means, I'm sure that net must have gotten quite heavy with all the dirt and the rubbish that it picked up from the sea ocean. What does the Hebrew writer tell us? It speaks to us, they let us lay aside every weight of sin that so easily besets us. You know, brethren and sisters, as we move out daily, and as we move amongst this world, this wicked world, what happens? We get defiled, don't we? We get defiled. And so daily we need to know what it means to wash our nets. You know, we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it, in John's Gospel. He's our wonderful example, John 13. You remember how the Lord Jesus Christ, he did those things as he washed the feet of the disciples. What did he do? He riseth. This was something positive. He riseth, the scripture says. He took a towel. He girded himself. He poured water into a basin. And he washed the disciples' feet. You know the portion well, don't you? And you know, as the Lord came to Peter, Peter said, now listen, Lord, you will never wash my feet. You'll not wash my feet, Lord. The Lord said to Peter, if I wash not your feet, you have no part in me. And Peter responded as he always does. You know, Peter was somebody who always said the wrong thing, but you know what? Peter always learned by his mistakes. You know what Peter says? Lord, wash me from the top to the bottom. Wash everything. And the Lord had to teach Peter, Peter, you've been washed once. Yeah, you're saved. You don't need to be washed all. But your feet, Peter, the defilement that you pick up around, Peter, that needs to be washed. And so, brethren and sisters, we know what it means. To be sanctified daily by the washing of the Word of God, isn't it? That's the importance of reading the Scriptures day by day. Yay, and you know what? It just has a cleansing effect. It sanctifies us. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. And so, we need to be reading the Scriptures daily. We need that washing of the water. You know, the brethren used to give that example to us about the sieve, isn't it? And it's a lovely example. We like telling the younger ones at the Bible study on a Friday night about the sieve. A young man, well, he was a bit worried. He said, man, he's reading the Scriptures, but he doesn't understand everything. And he feels he's not making progress. Every day he reads the Scriptures, but it's just not getting to him. Well, he went to one of the older brethren. He went to his home. He said, man, brother, I'm really worried about something. I'm really worried. He says, man, I've been a believer for 2 years, or 3 years, and I'm reading the Scriptures. It just doesn't make sense. I can't understand it. Well, the older brother, very wise, he said, well, come in, let's talk about it. And he took him to the kitchen where he was busy doing the washing up, you know, he was doing washing up. And he saw a sieve there, and the sieve was dirty because his wife had made some cake or something. And he said, well, man, young man, I tell you what, you wash that sieve, put some water in that sieve and see what will happen. And the young man said, what, it's not going to hold water, it's just going to go right through. He said, well, give it a try. I'll try. Put the tap on, water went right through the sieve, swish it off. And the young man said, but nothing happened. And the elderly gentleman said, the other brother said, just do it again. He did the same thing. He said, it held no water. He said, well, do it again and again. And he said, man, this is a waste of my time. He said, well, have a look at the sieve. Have a look at the sieve. When you started, it was dirty. And now it's clean. What had happened? The water had washed the sieve clean. And yes, perhaps he didn't understand everything that he was reading. What was happening? He was being sanctified daily by the reading of the Scriptures. You know your life as I do mine. There are times when a Scripture comes back to us at the right time, isn't it? And when the devil perhaps is attacking, a little Scripture comes back. Perhaps a Scripture you learned at the Sunday school. Perhaps a Scripture you read a few weeks ago, it comes back to you, doesn't it? That's the importance of reading the Scriptures. You know, I know my life. The devil will try very hard to stop you from reading the Scriptures. Isn't it? You know it. You get up in the morning, ready to read, and a phone call comes. Or perhaps a letter that you didn't respond to. There's always something that will try to prevent you from reading the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ said to them on this occasion, I have given you this example. If I have washed your feet, you need to wash one another's feet. And so, as an assembly, as individuals, as those who love each other, those who are connected and knitted together, we need to understand the responsibility of not only cleaning our own heads, but know what it means to wash one another's feet. Mind you, brethren and sisters, let's not make the water too hot. All right? In love and in care, let's wash one another's feet. So the Lord said, I'm the example. And because I'm the example, you do likewise. And so here, these fishermen knew what it means to wash the nets. And so, those are the lessons we can learn from nets. But we want to come very quickly with the time remaining down to our portion, because this is an important portion, isn't it? as far as Peter was concerned. Peter was going to learn some wonderful lessons down here whilst he was down here below. The first thing that we're going to read of is in verse 3, that Peter was going to learn what it means to lend his things to Christ. He was going to know and to learn that the things that are his are not really his, isn't it? All things that we have is going to be of service and use in the work of the Lord. We read, did we not? The Lord Jesus Christ entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Brethren and sisters, do we own anything in this land? Nothing is ours, isn't it? The things we have, the material things we have, we need it, don't we? We do need homes, and we do need motor vehicles, and we do need all kinds of things. But really speaking, our lives, our things belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not our own, brethren and sisters. We belong to Christ. And Peter's going to learn this lesson here, that the ship that he has is not really his. It belongs to Christ. Of course, Peter allows the Lord Jesus Christ to use his ship. And not only that, he's going to be obedient to the Lord. The Lord says to me on this occasion, now listen, I pray you, thrust out a little from the land. And then, of course, the Lord was able to use his ship to teach the people on this occasion. Brethren and sisters, our trust, very practically, our homes, our vehicles, our time, it's not ours, isn't it? It's Christ's. I'll tell you something very quickly. As a young man, I learned that lesson, and it was just before us. And there were two of us. We were working at a Sunday school not far from the assembly, and we started bringing the children to the Sunday school. And there was a very nice young man, and he bought a nice new car. And well, time came to pick up the Sunday school children to bring them to the gospel meeting, and he said, no. And they said, well, why not? He said, no, it's a new car, and those Sunday school children we're picking up, man, they're a bit dirty. They're a bit smelly. They're not going to go in my car. Well, someone else made a plan. You know what happened? That very night, that young man, he went to pick up his girlfriend. And he was going with his new car on this road. But he didn't realize the council put speed bumps in the road. And they didn't paint it yet. And he came, and you know in South Africa, the speed limit's not 50, 60, it's 120. And he came over the speed bump. That was the end of the new car. That was the end of the new car. Mind you, that young man learned from that lesson. He bought a different car afterwards. He brought what we call a minibus afterwards. And every week he brought something like 15, 16 children to the meeting. He learned his lesson. He learned that the things that he owned is not his. And so our homes, our vehicles. Peter learned this on occasion. He allowed the Lord to use his boat. And of course he was obedient to the Lord. But then the second thing is we're going to learn from this is that the Lord will always test us with small things. The Lord told Peter, now listen, Peter, you thrust out just a little bit. And Peter was obedient. And later on, we're going to learn the Lord says, now listen, go into the deep. And you know, Peter, you're going to become a fisher of men. You see, brethren and sisters, sometimes we just a little bit, we don't want to do the small things, isn't it? The Lord is going to test us with the smaller things. Test us in the assembly with small things, whether it's picking up the books, whether it's putting out the water, whatever it is, he's going to test us. You know, sometimes we just want to go for the big thing. The Lord was going to test Peter with the smaller things on this occasion. And so Peter's going to learn and know what it means to be obedient to the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He thrust out just a little bit. And then he thrust out a little bit further when the Lord told him to. And the Lord told him, now listen, go, cast your net again. And he said, Lord, you know, we've tried and we've done, but Lord, I'm going to be obedient to thy word. Brethren and sisters, we need to be obedient to the word of God, isn't it? The greatest blessing in your life and in my life comes at the point of obedience. As believers, we know that. We got the blessing of great salvation. What a blessing it was when we were obedient to the call of the gospel. As far as baptism is concerned, we get the greatest blessing of life when we're obedient to water baptism. The life of a believer is a life of obedience to his word. Peter, despite all his failings, despite all that he went through, Peter was one who was obedient to the word of God. And so we read in verse 5 and verse 6 that obedience, and there's going to be a result of obedience, and that's going to be blessing. Blessing in our lives, blessing in the assembly, when we know what it means to be obedient. Mind you, Peter knew very well what it meant to lend these things to Christ. Peter knew what it meant to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, we read here that Peter limited Christ. What did the Lord tell Peter? The Lord told Peter, now listen, Peter, verse 4, launch out into the deep. And let your nets for a draw. What did Peter say? Peter says in verse 5, Master, Master. You notice how he addressed the Lord? Master. Now this Master here in Luke's gospel is different to what we normally know Master to be. We normally associate the word Master with teacher, don't we? Teacher. But if you look at the original, this Master, is the thought here is assessor. Assessor. He says here, man, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. We're the experts. We know the sea. We've got the right boats. We've got the right nets. We've done it all. We're professional fishermen. We own a company. A fishing company, we've got partners, we know it. But listen, Master, if you say so, what does it say here? It says here, Lord, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken, nevertheless, at thy word. At thy word. I like that, isn't it? Peter is being obedient. I will let down the net. Yes, he was obedient, but sadly, he was limiting Christ. The Lord told him, let down your nets, plural. What does Peter do? He says, I will let down the net. Let's not limit Christ, brethren and sisters. You know, let's not limit Christ. If the Lord tells us to let down nets, let's not let down a net. You know, sometimes I think we make all kinds of excuses, but the reality of it is sometimes we're just faithless, isn't it? We must confess it. We're just faithless. The Lord says to Peter on this occasion, Peter, let down your nets. Peter, you need nets. I'm going to fill the nets. Peter let down a net. Well, the Lord blessed him, isn't it? And the net was full to breaking point. I wonder what would have happened if he actually obeyed and let down all the nets. What blessing. What a catch. Sadly, yes, Peter limited Christ. We can learn a lesson from that. You can develop it more. Peter limits Christ. Then, in verse number 7, we're going to read of two kinds of people. The Lord blesses. Verse 6 says, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes to the breaking point. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ships that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. There's two classes of people here in this chapter, in this verse. There were those who were partners in the work of the Lord. There were those who were Peter's partners. They had another ship. And he beckoned them, he called them, he said, listen, come and help. Both ships were full and they were starting to sink. It's wonderful to know that we have partners in the work of the Lord.
You know, we can either be a partner in the assembly as it casts out the net and brings in the fish. We can either be a partner in that boat, the assembly boat, or we can be a passenger. I wonder, what am I? Am I a partner or am I a passenger? On this occasion, Peter was able to call out to his partners to help. Just to help. Just to be a partner. You know, it's very sad when you get passengers in the work of the Lord. Yes, we come to meeting, and the meeting ends at 6 o'clock, and 1 minute to 6, we're gone. We're just a passenger, isn't it? And it's sad when we see that. On the day, on the Lord's day, when we come to worship, we're just there. We're just on the boundaries of things. We're just on the fringes of things. You know, if you read about Peter, occasion comes in his life when he walks afar off. Yes, he was there, but he was just walking right at the back, brethren and sisters, in the work of the Lord, in the preaching of the gospel, in the teaching of God's word, whatever it might be. Am I a partner? Or am I a passenger? Peter was able to call the partners. They filled the boats. They brought it in. What a joyous time. So yeah, we can't develop that more. We're either a partner or we are a passenger. But verse 8 and verse 9, this is something of vital importance that Peter is going to learn in his life. Here's something that every one of us needs to learn in our Christian path and experience. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, when he saw the amount of fish, and mind you, he limited Christ, I wonder how much boats they would have needed if he actually threw down the nets. But he sees this. He recognized they had toiled the whole night. They knew the waters. They knew where the fish were. They caught nothing. And when he saw this great drop of fishes, it says, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knee, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What a lesson Peter was going to learn. You know, there's two things that Peter learned here on this occasion. Peter's going to learn, firstly, somewhat of the greatness of the Savior. One who's able to fill two boats with fish. The greatness of the Savior. And then he's going to learn somewhat of the nothingness of self. Recognizing his sinful nature, his sinful self, knowing we was. Brethren and sisters, we've made very little progress in the things of the Lord if we've not come to learn these two things in our lives. Individually and in the assembly. The greatness of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the nothingness of self. This is what Peter learned. Is this not what Isaiah learned? I'm a man of unclean lips. Is that not what the Apostle Paul learned? Peter's come to learn this. As he sees this great draught of fishes, the greatness of the Savior. Brethren and sisters, do we recognize the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ? We only have to look at our own lives. How he saved us as sinners of the deepest dye. How he reached out and saved every one of us individually. We need to recognize the greatness of the Savior. And then the nothingness of self. These men were great fishermen. These men had all the right tools. These men knew that sea back to front. But they couldn't catch a fish. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatness of the Savior, He's the one who's able. He's the one who was able. He's the one who, as it were, brought the fishes to the net. The greatness of the Savior and the nothingness of self. You know, brethren and sisters, if we don't learn that in our lives, we'll never make any progress as far as spiritual matters is concerned. You know, I've seen young men
back in South Africa. Standing confidently in their own strength. Not recognizing the nothingness of self. I've seen them, sadly, make shipwreck of their lives. Why? They never recognize the greatness of the Savior and the nothingness of self. Peter is going to learn this. My time is running up. The greatness of the Savior and the nothingness of self. Verse 10. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They all recognized that it was the Savior who brought the fishes to the net. The partners, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not. I like that. Fear not. It's a lovely word, isn't it? Fear not. You can see Simon on his knees. I'm a sinful man. The Lord says, now listen, this is now where I can use you. When we recognize there's nothing within us, nothing good, nothing, this is where I can use us. The Lord can use us. He says, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch me. I like this, brothers and sisters. Peter, he was used to catching fish alive, bringing them into the boat, and then they would be dead, isn't it? But now the Lord is going to teach Peter something else. He says, now listen, I'm going to let you catch dead men, dead in sin and trespasses, on their way to a lost eternity, and bring them, as it were, into the boat, that they might life, life eternally, life more abundantly. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Fear not. Verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all. They forsook all and followed him. I like that, brothers and sisters. Total commitment. They forsook all. They left all. And they followed him. Brothers and sisters, what are boats? And what are nets? And what a fish in compared with the Lord Jesus Christ. They forsook all, recognizing the greatness of the Savior. They forsook all. And they followed him. You know, last night I was thinking about, I like to quote a little verse or a poem at the end of a message. And I was thinking about that great missionary, C.T. Studd. He made some wonderful quotes, didn't he? You know, we like to use it in the preaching of the gospel. We like to quote, some like to love. Within the bounds of church or chapel bounds, I'd rather run a rescue shop a mile of the gates of hell. But you know, C.T. Studd, he made a quote and he says, and I leave this with you. If Jesus Christ be God, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be great for me to make for him. They left all. They left all and followed. Brothers and sisters, that we might have that attitude. Yes, we're not all called to full-time ministry. But you know what I mean. We have to work, yes. But what is our focus? What is our determination? What are our goals in life? Is it to become the head of the big company? Perhaps that is good. But as far as Peter was concerned, and as far as James was concerned, and as far as John was concerned, they left all and followed Christ. And again, I say with you, C.T. Studd, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be great for me to make for him. They sacrificed their all. Mind you, what a life they lived in service for God,
Heaven will tell, brethren and sisters, the preaching of the gospel here from the local assembly is not in vain. Isn't it? It's not in vain. Being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ as he asks us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it's not in vain. Heaven will tell. Heaven will tell. God's word will not return unto it void, but it will accomplish where it has been sent. And so in obedience, just as Peter was, just as James and John, just as these partners, we go out again on the Lord's day and we cast out the net. We cast out the net in faith, in obedience to the word of God. And again, know what it means just to follow Christ. We can't save. We can't save. It is the greatness of the Savior who can save, brethren and sisters. In the meanwhile, let's be faithful to him. Let's be obedient to him and be like these disciples, just to follow him. What are nets? And what are boats? And what are fish? All these material things when we have a connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust the Lord to bless his word this afternoon. And indeed, that it might be an encouragement to you as we again preach the gospel and you continue to preach the gospel. It is an encouragement to us to know that the gospel is still being proclaimed down in this part of God's unit. Can't we sing that lovely hymn 573? I love this hymn book. We don't have it here, but we used to use it back in South Africa. 573, after which we'll ask Brother Marius just to close the meeting in a word of prayer. 573, show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. All lesser light, all dark and quiet, all lower glories wane, the beautiful of earthful scares seem beautiful again. These disciples, they saw somewhat of the greatness of the Savior, and they lost all and followed. Thank you for listening. God bless everyone.